It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. Matt Valcho, Ben Carlisle, and Jason Jones here to talk about National Signing Day, Louisiana Tech basketball. Anything that your little heart desires about Louisiana Tech athletics, we will touch on it in the next hour and a half. It's a little bit of a bittersweet episode, though.
It is our final episode of the season until next fall. Of course, we'll have a special signing day podcast hopefully tomorrow night. I'll work to get that uploaded as soon as I can. But yeah, like you mentioned, National Signing Day, here we are 12-13 hours out from when the facts begin coming in. Definitely exciting times for Tech football, and as we get to see the next wave of stars sign on the dotted line tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the Rivals.com Conference USA team rankings, and you know, last year Tech was sixth. This year, fifth. So a little bit of an improvement. And a lot of these teams at the top, Southern Miss, Texas San Antonio, JUCO heavy, that's where you get a lot of your three stars. Plus, they're signing 25, 26 kids, where Tech's got 18 committed. So it's a little – the numbers aren't really comparable, I think. Florida International with 17 commits. They're ranked third right now. They're very comparable, and they're a little bit ahead of Tech right now. But you know what? Tech's never going to be number one going up against these Texas and Florida kids. Those kids seem to get rated higher. But as long as Tech's up there, 3, 4, 5, it seems like Tech's always 1, 2, or 3 at the end of the year where it counts in the football standings.
Oh, yeah, and one place that Tech does an outstanding job is developing those guys once they get on campus. Like you mentioned, might look like a middle-of-the-road type signing class, but like you mentioned, a smaller class, so it's going to be down a little bit. And you look at Marshall's in the front top spot right now, certainly a team that could use a quick turnaround, so I'm sure they'll be a little JUCO heavy. But, yeah, Tech's class looking good.
It'll be a fun rest of the show. Next segment, we'll be talking more about the National Signing Day, the recruiting class. Certainly, Amik Robertson, huge pickup over the past week for Louisiana Tech in that much needed help area of the secondary. Later on in the show, we'll also have Dave West back on to talk more Louisiana Tech basketball. Things got a little scrappy at UAB, in case you didn't see that.
We'll have to ask him if he was there for the fight that wasn't a fight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Whatever. But we will preview the second half of the Conference USA schedule as Louisiana Tech gets ready to head into that final stretch. They welcome Western Kentucky on Thursday in a blueout. I mean, it's an action-packed show, guys. I'm excited, but still just so sad that this is the last one.
Well, and I'm excited to have Mike Dettillier on. I mean, when he's been on in the past, you know, he's real candid about Louisiana Tech and some of the recruits they're bringing in and the potential that the program has to keep growing and get bigger. And I'm excited to ask him some questions about the players that Tech's been putting into the NFL, because that's what he does best, is the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah, and you speak of Mike Dettillier. I'm interested to see what he has to say about Amik Robertson, a kid from Thibodaux that all recruiting gurus have seen. He's just really jumped off the page the last few months with an LSU offer, a Texas offer, Houston, Oklahoma State. So I'm interested to see where he thinks Amik will fit into this Tech defense, even as soon as next year.
Well, and we were talking about, you know, some of these star rankings, you know, before the show started. And, you know, Amik Robertson's 1/10 of a point away from being a 4-star recruit. And I asked, you know, I mentioned on the board today on BleedTechBlue.com, you know, when will Tech get that first 4-star in the Rivals.com BleedTechBlue era, which we've been doing this since 2008. There have been 4-stars before. Way back, I remember in the scout days, Ladarius Love from Jonesboro, big defensive tackle, Luke McCown, quarterback. Scout.com might have had him as a 4-star. But Rivals, about 3 years ago, changed the way they rank the players. They don't give out as many 4-stars as they used to.
So Willie Baker wasn't a 4-star in Rivals, right?
No.
Okay.
And so, but he's saying right there with Amik, right there.
Close.
Right there. And so, you know, I think if Amik was a couple inches taller, he would be easily a 4-star, but he'd probably have offers from every team in the country.
Oh, yeah. That's how those guys slip through the cracks. Just look at Trent Taylor.
And yeah, and they're still good players. Carlos Henderson, they're still great players. I can't believe that some schools would back off of him over an inch or two in height. But I think Tech's close to getting that first four-star commitment. You know, at this time last year, they had offers out to some of the top juniors in the state. Patrick Queen from Livonia, the Johnson kid up there at Central Little Rock Catholic, I believe, or Central Christian, either one, an Arkansas kid. He ended up committing to Iowa State early, and his final three were Kansas, Iowa State, and Tech. He was a kid that might have gotten that four-star. Queen was definitely a four-star and ended up going to LSU, but I think Tech's close. We'll see. Maybe this next class.
It's only a matter of time before people that follow recruiting pretty heavily look at Louisiana Tech and don't think, oh, man, they're punching above their weight. There's absolutely no way that they could get this guy. I mean, Emeek is a huge get. I mean, they were kind of in the contention form since the beginning. The decommitment kind of threw everybody off the trail. But, I mean, you just look at some of the guys on this recruiting class, they had their – fair share of Power 5 offers.
Oh, yeah, and I think Tech did a great job is just sticking with Emeek and using that family atmosphere to really pull him in. And I think he's a great pickup for the program, like y'all said. And that four-star will come. I know a guy like Michael Sam, he's only a two-star on Rivals, but he was a guy that's kind of rated late in the process. And I think that Tech coaches are really high on Michael Sam. I think he's a kid that he'll come in and he'll take over Prince Sam's spot at corner. And I think he's really going to turn some head. He has great size, and he's another guy, a lot like Emeek, when you get the ball in his hands, he can be really dangerous. So he could potentially help in the return game as well.
Yeah, just having a 6'2 corner, you mentioned Michael Sam potentially replacing Prince Sam. Having those 6'1, 6'2 corners is invaluable, especially when you've got some of your top guys coming back, Trey Spencer, Aaron Robertson, Ephraim Kitchen, they're all probably in the, 5'9", 5'10 range.
Yep.
So to have one of these bigger physical guys that can go up against one of those, say you have a 6'5 receiver you got to go up against, it'd be nice to have somebody that's at least in his stratosphere.
Or even if you shifted Michael Sam to the slot against a tight end where Tech has just been killed in the past few years down the center of the field, that could help a huge amount, you know. So we'll see how the Tech coaches use him.
As we go through the rest of the show, forgot to mention this at the beginning, you can get in touch with us on the Fairway Carts Amendment hotline and text line at 888-993-7762. It's your last chance to do that if you've been listening to the show over the past few weeks or months and just haven't gotten up the courage to call in and talk to us. Now is definitely the time to do it.
Yeah, we might be scary looking, but we're not scary.
That's why we're behind a mic, huh?
Exactly.
Thank goodness it's radio.
That's why y'all were on the webcam and I'm over here hiding, but as always, we'd like to thank Trenton Interiors, our title sponsor. Go see them in the historic Rogers Furniture Building for all your interior design needs. That's in downtown Ruston on, of course, Trenton Street.
Oh yeah. Well, the rest of the show, of course, we've got basketball, more recruiting, especially here in the next segment. But I mean, I'm really, really interested to see what everybody's thoughts are on this class that coming into tomorrow. I mean, I guess I should ask the question, do you guys see any surprises tomorrow?
I think the only surprise that I'm really looking for is West Monroe product running back Trey Coleman. We've talked about him for a few weeks. He's a Tennessee commit. I know he's really impressed with Tech when he came on his visit a couple weeks ago, but you know, it's always hard to flip those kids that have been committed for such a long time to an SEC school. And I know Butch Jones was down here for 6 or 7 hours last week sometime. So Tennessee's clearly really high on him, but he would be a huge get for Tech in this class and really close out a solid recruiting year.
Well, and it would be sweet for Tech to get a West Monroe kid on the last day after having in past years Dylan Day and Terrell Lathan switch from Tech to either Mississippi State or TCU late, you know, on signing day switching. So, hey, maybe the West Monroe curse will end and you'll get that kid to come over. But, you know, it seems like he's pretty solid with Tennessee, but he has not come out and said,
I'm full of Tennessee.
100% committed all the way. So until you see that name on the dotted line, you know, there's still a chance.
And one thing that I hope we might have the chance to touch on later on in the show is just the rest of Conference USA's recruiting. I mean, down in Miami, it's looking really interesting. FIU, they've got 11 three-stars committed to play for Butch Davis. This, according to Underdog Dynasty and SB Nation. Lane Kiffin's been getting all the hype, but it definitely looks like it might be Butch Davis that kind of comes out on top in the area.
Yeah, and he had a little bit more time to get his class going. And I'm looking at their three stars on Rivals. They got 7 of them. And, you know, I have to go through them and see if any of them are junior college players or if they're all high school. But
And one thing real quick, did y'all happen to see that video of Lane Kiffin trying to promote the FAU?
Oh, man.
I saw people making fun of it, but I just could not make myself click on it.
Brutal.
I didn't want to do it.
It was
because I knew it would be bad, and I'm one of those guys, like, I look at it, it's something that just is awkward, and I can't make myself watch it.
Beyond awkward.
It hurts.
Let's just say he doesn't seem too excited to be in Boca Raton.
I mean, you have to wonder what his thought process is. Is FAU – actually, and I ask is, and I'm assuming FAU is just that stepping stone.
Oh, he wanted the Houston job.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wanted Houston. He wanted South Florida. Couldn't get him, so he had to take what he could get. And so it's just kind of like a arranged marriage right now, and he's just waiting for the upgrade.
I mean, he better not overlook, like, just kind of biding his time until he gets that offer, because you never know. It might not come. He might be stuck in FAU for a while.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got to do something to show that he is ready to get back up
Not if you're Lane Kiffin. I mean, he's been head coach of where? Tennessee, Oakland Raiders. I mean,
yeah,
he's
but you
had
see what
jobs.
That,
USC, yeah.
See what that did. Nothing.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to have to do a whole lot to get a job, so we'll see.
Oh, well. Well, like I said, later on in the show, we'll talk more about basketball. Next segment, more recruiting, Amik Robertson, how all these players will fit into Louisiana Tech's offense and defense next year. Looking forward to a great rest of the show. We will be right back here on ESPN 97.7.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698. For all the special dates in your life, it's National Jewelry. For engagement rings, wedding bands, anniversary gifts, birthday surprises, Christmas gifts, Valentine love you gifts, the special sparkle and shine with fine jewelry from Gabriel, Simon G, Coast Diamonds, Natalie K. For the special gift occasion in your year, it's National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Riddles Drive, Ruston.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your North Louisiana Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, come by one of our locations to support the businesses who support your Louisiana Tech Bulldogs and Lady Texters. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food. Hey, this is Sean Fox, sports director here at ESPN 97.7, inviting you to join me and the rest of the sports company every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 6 for our unique, unfiltered take on the world of local and national sports. We're going to make you laugh. It might make you cry, and there's a pretty good chance at some point I'm going to make you mad. But we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. That's The Sports Company, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, right here in your home for sports in North Louisiana, ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. You can call or text us on the Fairway Cards and Minden Hotline or text line at 888-993-7762. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company. Other sponsors include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. This segment, we welcome in Mike Dettillier to talk about Tech's recent successes and National Signing Day tomorrow. Just a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
My pleasure. Thanks.
How you doing tonight, Mike? The first question I was thinking, Tech picked up a recent commitment from Amik Robertson, a kid out of Thibodaux, Louisiana, a little undersized, 5'9", around 170. What does this commitment mean for Skip Holtz and company as they look to go forward into 2017?
He's a playmaker at the highest level. Now, I saw him play a lot on the offensive side of the football this year. I got conned into doing a couple games television, and just so happened to be both of them were Thibodeau, and he was amazing. I don't know if he's 5'9", probably a tad under, but he's got explosive qualities, real quick. He's got an extra burst after the catch, and he can certainly help in the return game. Now, you know, everybody's recruiting him as a defensive back, and that's where, you know, the catch is because, you know, he's coming off that injury, the knee injury that he had surgery on last January, but he tills the field. I mean, for on the Bayou area, he's one of the best football players I've seen here in the last 10 years. I mean, he would rank in the top two or three. I mean, he's right there. So he's a game changer, just depending on where you want to play him. I know most teams were, I thought his best position probably would have been free safety, where he could have kind of roamed around a little bit and help on a punt return. What was interesting, this was real early in the season, I talked at the touchdown club of St. Charles Catholic, and Frank Monica, longtime coach at Letcher High School and then at Tulane and then at St. Charles Catholic, told me that they had just finished playing Thibodeau and just won a real close football game. And he was point blank about it. He said, Mike, I've played against Odell Beckham a couple times. And playing against this kid, he's a better football player than Odell Beckham was and as a high school player. He's quicker, he's faster. And so that's high compliments from a guy that's coached a long time in Louisiana high school ranks. And, you know, you get a heck of a football player there. It's just, you know, where you're going to play him. Again, my opinion is I think his best shot would be at the free safety position where he can roam around and make some plays, but he's got ball skills. I can't teach that. Either you got it or you don't. But he finds the football in flight real quickly, and then he makes a play on it. So that was a big catch for Tech, and they stayed with him from start to finish. That was a big part of it. And I spoke to him twice during the summer. LSU had spoke to him but had not offered. And he grew up, you know, Tyrann Mathieu, big fan of LSU. But he stayed with, you know, who brought him to the dance. And he could have went elsewhere easily because we saw Houston, Oklahoma State, you know, a couple of other schools get in here late along with LSU. And I know in talking to Coach O, he told me, Mike, I'm going to be back after when it's all said and done. And going with Tech, that's a big coup for them because he, I know he may be ranked a three-star player or whatever. that guy is a big-time playmaker. And so, you know, Tech did a great job getting him out of South Louisiana.
Well, Mike, talking about a big-time playmaker with the ball in his hands, he might have a chance, especially as a freshman on special teams, with Carlos Henderson moving on to the NFL. What are you hearing about Carlos's potential in the NFL draft?
I'm a big fan of Carlos. You know, I saw him as a high school kid. And, you know, again, in Louisiana, this is becoming a wide receiver state. So many kids from here going on to play. I was talking to Archie Manning about this. The last 4 years, there have been 53 Division I players signed scholarships at the wide receiver position. Just coincidentally, 38 of them went to the Manning camp. Now, some of them were dual-purpose guys, but it does go to show you as much as this state has looked at, and it's produced a lot of defensive backs and quite a number of defensive linemen, too, surprisingly, because, you know, we're not kind of built for that, but yet you see quite a few of them come out of the state of Louisiana. That Carlos is a guy that can change the scoreboard real quickly. He's got an extra gear, extra step in the giddy up. He's real quick into and out of his cuts and breaks. He's going to have to expand his route tree a little bit, but man, he's explosive. He can help in a return game. And in my opinion, he's a top 100 pick. I think he's a third round guy and could quite possibly go a little bit higher depending on how well he can run. This is a thick wide receiver class. But, you know, the more you can do, the better off you are. And his ability to return kicks is going to get him a long look by the NFL. And, again, I think, you know, the numbers he put up are staggering. And you look at that average per catch, that's impressive. You knew they were going to go to him, and he seemingly made one big play after another.
Well, Mike, speaking of Carlos and the NFL draft, you know, Tech's got other guys like Xavier Woods, Trent Taylor that are probably going to get drafted this year. Tech's got 15 players currently in the NFL, which has not happened in recent years. I mean, it's just kind of just exploded the last couple of years, putting seven in, I believe, last year. Does that speak to the talent overall in the state and Tech's ability to keep some of those guys in state? Or what do you think about the job that Skip Holtz and staff have done getting these guys to come to Louisiana Tech?
Yeah, that's a good point. Skip's done a real good job, not only recruiting talent, but developing it. You know, I think about Jeff Driscoll, you know, bringing him in. Jeff was a major disappointment at Florida, similar to Jacoby Brissett. Man, I hear all these people talking about what kind of great coach Will Muschamp is. My thing is, he had two guys went in the NFL, and he didn't know what the hell to do with them. So I scratch my head on that part, you know, and if you can't win in Florida with the recruiting talent around you, I mean, again, it's amazing. But some guys get fifth and eighth, tenth chances to coach no matter where they're at. But I see, what I see with Skip, he's been able to do a real good job recruiting to the fit at Louisiana Tech, looking for certain players that fit what he does extremely well offensively and defensively. And that's prospered for them. And they've been able to get a lot of prospects and develop them there. And it's not the highly recruited guy like a guy like Driscoll was. A lot of these guys are middle-road guys, you know, kind of two- or three-star players. And they've been able to develop him and head to the National Football League. Xavier Woods is a really good prospect at that strong safety position. I think he's probably, a fourth, maybe a round pick if he runs well for the clock. Trent Taylor, you know, I mean, I had a few schools that kind of contacted him, but really Tech was the only school that really kind of made that firm offer. And, you know, just look at the numbers he's put up. Is he undersized? Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of guys in this league that are undersized one way or another. He's a playmaker. So you kind of see it, whatever fits. What Ryan Higgins did, he had a terrific senior season for Louisiana Tech. So Skip's done a really good job, and also, too, kind of branching out. Because you're not just going to win today. There are no borders anymore as far as recruiting is concerned. It's open borders. You see Alabama coming in here to grab Louisiana players, and, you know, LSU, you know, they're into Texas and Alabama and Florida, you know, so the borders are wide open, so you have to be able to extend out those tentacles to grab players. And also, from a Tech standpoint, if you have an immediate need, to look at the JUCO ranks, and that's been a big explosion the last few years. A lot of young men, you know, having maybe some difficulties with a certain score, head to the Mississippi JUCO ranks out in Texas, and he's been able to go there. He's got a couple kids this year the exact same way. So he's done a fantastic job. Now, for Tech fans, you'd like to see him explore a little bit more in the southern part of the state, because where they got people, they got players. And I'm talking about in the New Orleans, Baton Rouge area, where you could grab a few more from there. But, you know, there's a lot of competition from there, too, because, you know, the Mississippi schools and Texas schools, they are over here now. It's a reason why 6 out of the last 9 years, Louisiana per capita has put out more players than any other state. And the 3 years they didn't get number one, they were 2. And it's just an amazing haul that this little state, you know, has produced that many players. And the Katrina effect is over with. I think that maybe was 5 years ago. But I think, you know, you kind of see now where that has settled down quite a bit. And it's population, and it's also work venue. And, you know, our economy hasn't been the greatest. since a lot of it certainly has to do some all-fuel related situations there. So it's amazing. In 2005, there were 254 players that signed scholarships to play football from Louisiana. And that's from the highest to the lowest level. Last year was 404. So explain to me that jump. That's a big jump of high school kids from this state, from the lowest to the highest level of college football, that get that opportunity to further their education, also, you know, play sports. So Louisiana's been a haven, and that's why you got so many schools here now recruiting a lot of that talent. And that takes a little bit of a swirl. I don't think this recruiting class was as deep as I've seen others, but still, you know, it's still going to have quite a few kids. And when it's all be said and done, it's probably going to be, you know, in the 350s as far as kids sign, you know, scholarships total.
And that's really unbelievable, too, just the number of kids that come out of the state. And, Mike, you mentioned expanding the borders, you know, getting out. What do you think about Holtz and his staff's ability to get into these small towns? You've got Stamps, Arkansas, Oak Grove, Louisiana, Atlanta, Texas. These are just one red light towns, if that. And you look back, you know, 4 years ago, Kenneth Dixon from Strong, Arkansas, right across the border over near Macomb, Mississippi, Vernon Butler. You know, he's taking these guys, and both of those guys were country strong. And Kurt Hester did a great job developing them. But, you know, he's going into these small towns and finding these guys that are maybe a little bit under the radar.
Yeah, a lot of times, too, is, you know, these bigger schools, there's a little bit of a tie-in about getting these four- and five-star kids. The recruiting coordinator and the head coach gets a raise when they're in the top 10. So a lot of times, you get a late developing young man, somebody who, you know, maybe took up football a little bit later or maybe grew a little bit bigger between their, you know, junior and senior year, and just sometimes opportunity. And so that's where Tech's been able to step in. And to be honest, is there a number two school in the state of Louisiana today? You can't say Tulane is. UL Lafayette has had pretty decent success, but, you know, they similar situation to Tech, Northwestern, and UL Monroe has it. There is no really number two school in this state, and that's where Tech can put a foot in the door of getting developmental guys, you might want to say, young men that maybe, you know, or not that three- or four-star kid, or maybe got hurt. Look, I think a lot of schools would have went after a Meek had he not had the knee injury. I think that they were scared off by the knee injury that he had, and it kind of was a tap the brake. And I think partially one of those schools was LSU. I think they were a little bit concerned about that, and you were able to land that. So to go out into Mississippi and Texas and Arkansas and to grab, you know, maybe not the most highly recruited players, but kids that were really productive and maybe were a bit of late bloomers, that's what you saw in a Vernon Butler. Now, Kenneth Dixon put up some big numbers, and I'm still shaking my head about that because, you know, you look at the numbers he had in high school, that, you know, he wasn't a late bloomer by any stretch. They just missed. They whiffed on Dixon completely. And so that's certainly to the benefit of Louisiana Tech there. But there is so much talent in a lot of these little schools that – there's where you have to have the connection with the high school coaches that will go out in a limb and make that connection to a school. A lot of times, I hate to say it, but some high school coaches don't promote their kids. They don't. You know, they feel as though it's not their job. And the other part, too, you bring up Kurt. I think he's one of the best, you know, conditioning coaches they have. He does. Done a fantastic job there, and it's part of developing a program, not only recruiting but also developing talent. I did a lot of kind of shows around, so to speak, when Nick Saban was here, and he had the same speech everywhere he went, so I knew it pretty good. And he'd always talk about R&D, recruit and develop. And, you know, his deal was that a lot of coaches could recruit but they can't develop, and a lot of guys can coach but they can't recruit. And his deal was that, it meant a lot to be able to do both, recruit and develop coaches, and also develop talent. And I think that's where Skip has done a really good job in doing that and replenishing the talent that he loses very quickly. There's a lot of running backs, receivers, defensive backs in this state, a lot of them. But where you win is in the trenches. And that's where you may have to go outside the state of Louisiana. We're not known for a lot of big offensive linemen. And while they've produced a lot of pretty good defensive linemen, you know, there's a lot of competition for those guys. So that's where you win. I think you win up front in the offensive, defensive lines. But they've been able to develop that quarterback, you know, kind of pitch and catch game really well and a real strong running game, certainly when Kenneth was there.
Great insight, Mike. We really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and enjoy National Signing Day tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's the lifeblood. This is where you build the programs at on days like tomorrow, but it's 364 days before it that you got to set it up.
Got to agree with that. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be right back after this.
For over 30 years, Northeast Louisiana has trusted Carrier and Pierce Service Company with their home comfort solutions. Right now, enjoy 0% APR for 36 months or pay no interest if paid in full within 12. Plus, receive up to $1,450 in cool cash rebates on qualifying systems. It all adds up to increased comfort and year-round energy savings, but hurry, the deals will disappear soon.
With only the best for you, Pierce Service Company.
Contact Larry Hobbs at Pierce Service Company in Monroe.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
On ESPN 97.7, Bleed Tech Blue Radio is presented by Trenton Interiors and Company down in downtown Ruston in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Get in touch with us on the Fairway Carts Amendment hotline and text line at 888-993-7762. Our other sponsors are Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Sticking on football for this next segment. Last segment we heard from Mike Dettillier, some great insight into Amik Robertson and the success that Tech has had, as well as the players heading into the NFL draft a few months from now. But looking at the recruiting list for Louisiana Tech, let me get you guys' opinion on this. What major need, other than Amik Robertson, has really been met in this recruiting class?
Well, I think you look at last year with Tech and how their season went. They obviously had a very explosive offense. They had a defensive line led by Jalen Ferguson, who could really get after the quarterback. I think they ended up somewhere top 10, top 15 in the country in total sacks. The linebacker position was a little weaker. That position, I know Tech's really tried to address, you know, in past years with some transfers and Jordan Harris out of Iowa State and Dalton Santos out of Texas, two guys that Harris played pretty well. Santos was a guy who struggled a little bit due to his lack of foot speed. But you look at two linebackers in this class, and Randy Hogan and Tristan Allen. Allen's a high school kid out of Atlanta, Texas. You definitely hope that those two kids can come in. And with Hogan being a junior college kid, I'm sure he's expected to come in and play right away. But the spot that I'm really impressed with what the Tech coaches have done is at the defensive back position. So many young defensive backs returning, like we mentioned earlier, with Ephraim Kitchen, Trey Spencer, Aaron Roberson, Zach Hannibal. And so you look at all those guys, and so you just really don't know what you have. You know, you have Cedric Cooper returning at safety along with Demarion King, but those are two kids who are probably better suited for that weak side linebacker spot. So I think the coaches have done a good job with two JUCO corners and Michael Sam and Jordan Baldwin, and then filling it in with those high school kids, Jaden Cole, Ja'Corian Andrews, Colin Hurt, just those kids. I think that's the biggest area of need that Tech had.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at the struggles in the secondary last year and to have your top recruits of this class, Ja'Corian Andrews, Jaden Cole, and Amik Robertson all being defensive backs. You get a couple of junior college defensive backs, too. You can tell where the focus was in this class. Now, two of my favorite potential signees for tomorrow, you know, two commitments that aren't talked about as much, but are still two of the three-star guys and two of the big playmakers, you know, Elijah Walker and George Scott. Those two guys are going to be exciting on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I think we're going to have 3 years of great quarterback play here in the next 3 years. So I'm not saying Walker can maybe come in and win that job in year one or two, but he's got a redshirt year down the road. You never know about injuries or, you know, you always have to have a good backup. Elijah Walker is exciting, and he can move close to the top of that list really quick.
Another position that Tech kind of needs to address and a lot of people should be looking for is wide receiver. What do you guys think about Alfred Smith potentially jumping in there and taking Trent Taylor's spot in the slot, and who could jump up there and take over for Carlos Henderson?
Yeah, I don't think you get it from this class in year one.
No.
I think Quaylen Williams, you know, we went up there and saw him play in Arkansas this past year. I think he's an extremely talented, athletic guy, but playing at a small school like that, it's going to take him a while to get stronger and learn route running and getting off blocks, that kind of thing. I think he's more of a project, but he's a potential great player in 2 to 3 years. You know, I think you probably have a little more chance to see Griffin Hebert playing a little bit earlier, but I think the guys on campus already are the ones you're going to see fill in.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
Teddyville.
From that group, though.
Teddyville,
Adrian Hardy. Those are guys I expect to start from day one on the outside.
Yeah, and you look at Cam McKnight inside with Alfred Smith. That's
your four.
And that has potential to be really dynamic, too, a receiver. And then you look at Rasheed Bonnet as well.
Yeah, but Bonnet's coming up, a younger guy that showed really well last year when he got a chance. And then you've got some veteran guys in there, too. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows who will start? I think those are your four, but there's going to be competition.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned the veteran guys. You mentioned Marcus Gaines, the guy that got hurt last year. He's way undersized at probably 5'5". On a good day, but he's shown the potential to make huge plays down the field. And he could be that guy that you put in the slot sometimes and just try to get him the ball and see what he can do.
He's had some big games, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another, I mean, you could put Amik Robertson on the field and see what he can do potentially. So, but, yeah, I think Tech will be fine at the receiver spot, like you mentioned, with the guys returning as well.
Now, you're also looking at the offensive line. I mean, basically the same question, maybe not necessarily just from this class, but your thoughts on the offensive line.
Well, the questions on the offensive line are the interior, and that's where you see Hunter Shipley and Drew Kirkpatrick coming in, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds. They're brought in because you're losing, you know,
Kirby Wicks and
Wicks
Joseph
and Brunson and I'm losing my mind.
Darryl Brown as well.
Well,
Brown's, he's at tackle.
Brown was a tackle, but you're missing three guys on the interior, and I'll look up all their names in a minute. I'm sorry, but I'm getting old, guys, but you get these two guys coming in the interior for depth, because who do you have coming back? You've got three offensive tackles coming back, you know, Carpenter, and then the two guys that were JUCOs last year, Outlaw
and
Stallworth.
Yeah.
And so you've got three guys that can play tackle, but only two guys coming back that play interior.
With Ethan Reed and
O'Shea Dugas. So they really like Cody Russey that was in last year's signing class. He's got a chance to move in to a starting role. I don't know if you'd move Outlaw or Carpenter inside to guard. Maybe you just roll with those three guys at your two starting tackles and then have a really good backup for both those spots. But that's why they brought in those two guys, Kirkpatrick and Shipley, because they need depth in the interior.
Well, see, I wonder if they will shift out Stallworth outside and play tackle all the time and then shift maybe Carpenter inside. We've seen him struggle a little bit with a speed rush, so he might be better as a guard
and Outlaw,
a downhill running game.
Outlaw got in a couple of games as guard when there were some injuries. So, I mean, he definitely can do it. So you might, just for experience, to get your most experienced guys on the field, you might see one of them starting. But I'm expecting Russie to come in and take one of those spots, whether it's center or guard. Ethan Reed will be center or guard. O'Shea Dugas isn't going anywhere. He's going
to
be a guard.
And the other name you forgot to mention on the interior line with David Mahaffey.
I'm picturing David, and I just could not call his name. I'm sorry, David.
Another name to look at, too, is Deontay McGrady. He was a guy that Tech coaches were high on coming out of high school. So, and I believe he even played as a true freshman. So it'll be interesting.
It seemed like he was kind of getting mentioned up there right behind Dugas as one of the next guys. And this past year, I don't know, for whatever reason, he didn't seem to make the jump. But, yeah, maybe he'll have a good offseason and get back in that. And then, you know, a couple of offensive tackles. You know, Michael Rodriguez is always struggling to keep weight up and being around. He's a converted tight end. And they were looking at guys, you know, under Sonny Dykes, they were recruiting guys that were that 6'6", 250, 260. They wanted more athletic guys, try to get them stronger, get them closer to 300 pounds, because that's what a lot of the spread offensive teams do, like Texas Tech. And Rodriguez hadn't been able to get that weight up. They've put him in a little bit as a blocking tight end and kind of a bigger formation. And then
Devontae Lovett as well.
And then the other one I was thinking of, Devontae Lovett, is a former basketball player. He's super tall. And will he make the jump this year to be in that two deep at tackle? 6'6", 274. Can he get closer to 300 pounds?
Last little topic here, and I hate to beat a dead horse, but I feel like we did this at the beginning of the season whenever Higgins was out for that game. Is it as clear cut that Jamar will be the guy for the next 3 years, or would Elijah Walker or even Jack Abraham come in and have a serious shot at taking that starting role?
I think when you enter the spring, Jamar's clearly the guy. But going forward, I don't think that the job is Jamar's, because Jamar showed as much as he did last year. He's obviously going to have to take a hold of the job and continue to play well. I don't think Skip would hesitate to change quarterbacks even mid-season, because with a young kid, I mean, he hasn't played a ton. You never know how he's going to perform, and it might open up the door potentially for a Price Wilson, a guy who's struggled a little bit with his accuracy throughout his career, but or a Jack Abraham, who put out outstanding numbers in high school, maybe a little undersized, also coming off a meniscus injury. But, yeah, I think Jamar's the guy going into the spring, but for the next 3 years, I think that's too early to tell. Now, if he has an outstanding sophomore year, I think, then obviously his junior and senior year, the job is his.
I think we're going to see him come in and just take control of this team. We'll see it in spring football, and I don't expect it. They're going to have such a good year this year. The schedule we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the schedule is just unbelievable. I think Jamar runs with it.
Mm-hmm. I really hope he does.
I really do.
Great schedule, great look at the season. When we come back on Bleed Tech Blue, you're on ESPN 97.7. We'll look to some basketball this past weekend, the fight that wasn't actually a fight, UAB, MTSU, and preview Western Kentucky this Thursday. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge. We've got 20% off remaining 2016 Dodge Chargers. Get 30% off select 2016 Ram 1500 crew cabs. Remaining 2016 Dodge Journeys are only $18.99, and 16 Dodge Darts are only $16.99. We've got great deals on all remaining 16 models. But hurry, they won't last long. Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge. I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building.
For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Ever put your watch on at 7 in the morning only to notice it reads 2:35? Or that sinking feeling when you click your vehicle remote and the doors don't open? You need to see Paul at National Jewelry. Watch batteries, vehicle remote batteries, install quickly. Paul can also fix that link in your watch band and all other jewelry repair, and they do it in-house. Guys, please don't forget your anniversary this month. National Jewelry has their special surprise. National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement and battery store. Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Wake up.
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online at ESPN977.com. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back into Blue Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. Blue Tech Blue brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company in downtown Ruston, the historic Rogers Furniture Building. If you want to get in touch with us here on our final show of the year, you can call or text us on the Fairway Carts and Menden hotline and text line at 888-993-7762. Other sponsors for Bleed Tech Blue Radio include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Last week, me and Ben talked about Conference USA basketball going into this crazy road trip that Louisiana Tech had. UAB on Thursday night and the surprise of the season, Middle Tennessee, on Saturday. They kind of held with them there, but overall two losses in conference play, not exactly how Tech fans would have wanted to see that play out.
Yeah, definitely a tough week for Tech. You know, you look at the front end of that road trip where you have UAB, a team that you really think you have a good opportunity to win, but you know Bartow Arena is one of the tougher places to play within the league, and Tech just kind of came out a little flat. You know, they didn't shoot the ball real well early on, especially in the first half from three. They're 1 of 12, so that's always tough. And then once you start playing from behind, it's always tough to come back against a team. And then, you know, as we know, the little scuffle with about 6 minutes to go where Jacoby Boykins was popped in the face by Hakeem Baxter. Baxter was ejected, but then the whole Tech team gets ejected other than four guys. Then you add in the Tech coaching staff as well, and then it's just that kind of night.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, that NCAA rule of leaving the bench and you get ejected is just like, I mean, it makes total sense to me, don't get me wrong, but it is a killer because no basketball player getting caught up in that heat of the moment, the brawl, like everybody's just getting all worked up. Nobody's thinking about that.
And if you're going to come back, you can't. I mean, don't you want the assistant coaches to come try to stop it?
Yeah.
And then also, if you're going to say, okay, well, this team has six players left and you've only got four, don't you think you better get it right? Because now they're coming back after the fact saying, well, maybe this guy for UAB probably should have not been allowed to play.
Well, doesn't Conference USA seem to favor UAB as well?
Oh, boy, don't.
Yeah, that was a discussion on Twitter all week. Yeah, definitely. Instead of CUSA, it was CUAB.
Yep, exactly. And then, you know, Jacoby was, you know, he might have instigated it by the little bump, but definitely not deserving of a punch to the face from Baxter. And then
getting the one-game suspension for the
next
night.
On top of it, when Tech's headed to the conference leader in Middle Tennessee, it just really hurts your chances in a game that you really needed to win. And Tech played well against Middle Tennessee.
Oh, they held their own for most of the game.
Oh, yeah. But then you look at, you know, short bench, Bracey's cramping in the second half, and it's just tough to win on the road with so many things lined up against you.
It was definitely one to see in UAB. The starters, of course, McCree, Sherman, Boykins, Gene, and Bracey, the five that have pretty much cemented themselves in that role at the beginning of the season. Didn't really know who was going to be that go-to five, but Conkle has found it. The scoring leader, definitely Eric McCree, 16 points in 32 minutes. He was 6 of 15 from the field, only 1 of 6 from 3, made half of his free throws. he's continuing to show that he is the leader, even though he's not getting all those headlines with Daquan Bracey there.
Well, oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and McCree's been playing well. Sometimes I think he gets a little outside of his game when he starts shooting three, but he's a rhythm player. Once he sees the ball go through the basket, he can really shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I sometimes get frustrated because he'll hit a three, and then he's going to take about three more, you know, kind of like a heat check. But he's their most consistent offensive player. He's earned that respect, and he's earned that chance to get the ball and make a play. Down the stretch, it seems like sometimes he wants to try to put the team on his back a little bit too much and not trust his teammates. But at the same time, there's not a lot of other options. There's not that many guys on the court that can create their own shot. Bracey's more of a passer. Boykin's more of a spot-up shooter. So, you know, when he's hot, he's hot. He's going to get a couple turnovers. He's going to take a couple bad shots. But, hey, you got to take the good with the bad. Looking at Massey ratings, you know, there's – what, nine more games left in the season? Tech's heavy favorites in all of them except on the road at Rice in about a month. Even two of the better teams they play are coming up, Marshall and Western Kentucky,
yeah.
But they're both coming to Ruston, so Tech's given – Massey's got an 87% chance to win, 73 against Marshall, and then you're in the 70s, 80s, or 90s for every other game. So Tech's got a chance to get right, get everybody healthy, you know, and – go out on, you know, they've lost two in a row, but I think they can get another win streak going.
Well, it's great that it seems that the athletic department has those promotions going on those two nights, hopefully getting a crowd into Ruston, bringing that tack home court advantage that they're so used to with the, I think Saturday night is Pack the Tack or whatever they're calling it now, the discounted tickets, trying to get as many people there as possible. Then Thursday night is a blue out against Western Kentucky. So that should get some butts in the seats, you'd hope.
Yeah, it should be a pretty good crowd. I mean, Western Kentucky's 11-11, Marshall's 13-9, and the only other winning team you play the rest of the year, other than that 13-9, is at Rice, who's 14-8. That's on February 25th. You look at some of the other records on the upcoming schedule. UTEP's 6-14. We've got Alex Nicholas coming on now in the next segment. We'll talk to him a little bit about the future of Tim Floyd. Also, just his general thoughts about Conference USA. But they've got 6 wins. San Antonio's got 9 wins. Florida Atlantic, 6 wins. Florida International, only 5 wins. North Texas, only 6 wins. Southern Miss, only 6 wins. These are some awful teams.
Yeah, Tech definitely has an opportunity to really, like you said, get right heading into that Conference USA tournament where it'll be absolutely key to finish as a top 4 seed to where you only have to win 3 in 3 days. Another guy I look at is Derek Jean. He has to be consistent every night. You look at this road trip, he only averaged 4.5 points. He struggled with foul trouble both games. He had to sit a lot in the first half of games. And he's crucial to this team as far as just allowing players to equal out their minutes, as far as Bracey himself and Jalen Harris. So, yeah, Jean's a crucial key to this team as well.
Looking back on the UAB game one more time, I look at the highlights. The fight grabbed all the headlines and all the talk on national media like SportsCenter. I couldn't help but laugh at that picture of Conkle just standing in front of an empty bench. I mean, it's as awful as it was, just kind of seeing that made me chuckle. But
yeah,
one stat that everybody like really focused on, especially in the national media, I mean, sure, they might have mentioned that UAB ended up beating Tech, but it was that Tech with 4 players outscored UAB in those final 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely dropping some threes and hitting on a few of them. You even see the big man knock down one.
I mean,
so,
what do you have to lose?
I mean, he looked really good shooting it, too. But, you know, I'm looking at the Conference USA standings. Middle Tennessee's 9-0 in conference, and UAB's now solid in second place at 7-2. And then Tech, Old Dominion, and Marshall are 6-3. So Tech's got a chance to solidify being in the top 4. If they knock off Marshall this week, Western Kentucky's 5-4. They're right behind there. You can kind of put them away. So then if you want to kind of lock up that 4 seed, if Middle Tennessee is going to lock up the number 1 seed, you'll face them in the semis potentially, leaving UAB and maybe Old Dominion in that 2-3 game. Now, personally, I don't really want Tech to be in that 2-3 game against UAB. So it wouldn't hurt my feelings if Tech kind of figures out a way to get that 4th seed, but you can't play like that. You just got to win every game and see where the, you know, everything falls. But
well, and playing Middle Tennessee with fresher legs would probably be better for Tech. But pointing on that Marshall game Saturday night, that style of play that Marshall plays, just up and down. I believe Mike D'Antoni's brother is their coach,
Dan.
So they just shoot the 3. I think we saw last year Gene hit the game winner from half court in a game that was, what, 90-plus for both teams. So
crazy.
That one's definitely going to be up and down, and Tech's going to have to score the ball at a high rate and probably shoot the three pretty well Saturday night.
They just basically have to play like they did against Middle Tennessee that first half, because they were winning 32-28 in the first half against Middle Tennessee. Yeah. For the entire game, Louisiana Tech had a 26% three-point percentage compared to 18 for MTSU. McCree was the high scorer once again for Louisiana Tech. But, I mean, the potential is there. You can see whenever this team is clicking, I mean, they can compete with the best of the conference.
Yeah, and so Marshall and Western Kentucky, they're up there, you know, in the top half of the conference. But one of them 6-3, one of them 5-4. But Tech's 10-2 at home.
Yeah. No, the home court advantage. Huge.
Marshall on the road, 2-8
yeah.
in the conference. Western Kentucky, 3-9.
Yeah.
That's where Tech's advantage is. So these are two of the better teams left on Tech's schedule, but Tech having that home court advantage should take care of business this week.
It's definitely a positive to look forward to this weekend. Western Kentucky on Thursday night, Marshall on Saturday night, Blue Out on Thursday. If you're in Ruston, get to the tack. Bulldogs need your help. Next segment, we'll continue talking about Louisiana Tech basketball and Conference USA basketball in general as we head into the second half of this season. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge. We've got 20% off remaining 2016 Dodge Chargers. Get 30% off select 2016 Ram 1500 Crew Cabs. Remaining 2016 Dodge Journeys are only $18.99, and 16 Dodge Darts are only $16.99. We've got great deals on all remaining 16 models. But hurry, they won't last long. Start the year off with something new from Brennan Dodge, I-20 Service Road, Ruston.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubac Ruston Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company. Go see them in the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. You can get in touch with us on the Fairway Carts and Minden hotline and text line at 888-993-7762. Our other sponsors include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brewster's Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Now joining us on the Fairway Carts and Minden hotline, Alex Nicholas from MinorRush.com, SB Nation. Thanks for joining us on such short notice.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, Alex, thanks for coming on. So we're in the middle of Conference USA basketball. Tech's coming out your way next week, going on the road, taking on UTSA and UTEP. What do you think about the West Division of Conference USA basketball right now, and where does Tech stand right now in your mind? Are they the team to beat in the West, and or do you think Rice has a chance to kind of knock them off?
I think right now, there's no doubt that Tech is definitely head and shoulders above Rice. You know, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I probably would have told you the opposite. But I feel like teams have kind of found out how to slow down that tandem of Igor Kulichov and Marcus Evans. And I think Louisiana Tech, despite losing two games last week in that that gauntlet of a trip, or, you know, I forget whether Tech was on the road or at home, but either way, when Louisiana or when Middle Tennessee and UAB come into your building or you head there, you know, you'd be lucky to split. You'd be lucky to have a halftime lead. And I thought that second half of that Middle Tennessee State game kind of showed Louisiana Tech a little bit of immaturity just in terms of being able to kind of close gaps and get stops. And that's not saying that, you know, Louisiana Tech is not a contending team, because I think when Daquan Bracey goes, this Louisiana Tech team is really, really fun to watch. Obviously, Eric McCree is a big part, but I think Daquan Bracey is kind of that grease that they kind of get that wheel going for Louisiana Tech. And I think there's no doubt about it. You know, Rice is kind of tapered off, like I mentioned, just because I feel teams have really kind of caught on to what they're doing and their lack of an inside game. But looking at Louisiana Tech, previewing them the first time we played y'all over there in Ruston, I was just really, really impressed with it's like a river that flows over there with you guys. You guys have the length, you guys have the speed, and now you have another great point guard coming up in Daquan Bracey. And I think as he matures and as he can kind of be more of a consistent guy, and I know Eric Conklin's not going to ask him to score, but 6 to 8 assists, even 8 to 10 points, that's really going to raise the level of this Louisiana Tech team. And I think hands down, there's no doubt about it. You're looking at kind of the West, and UTSA's made something of a stride. I still think they're what their RPI says. UTEP, same deal. They made a stride, but they're still what their RPI says. But I think Louisiana Tech is head and shoulders above everybody in the West. And if we're talking UAB, I know UAB fans are going to get mad because they're considered in the West. But the current West, what I think you're asking me, I think Louisiana Tech definitely is the team to beat.
Well, Alex, you mentioned that UTEP has really kind of got on track here of late. What has changed for that UTEP team that's really started to help them get on a little bit of a winning streak after such a tough start in conference play?
Well, the first thing is real simple. I mean, here's your analyst, your hashtag analyst. They played Florida International, they played FAU, and then they played UTSA in consecutive weeks at home. And like I mentioned, UTSA's made a little bit of stride, but they're a 300. They're a 300-ranked team. Same thing with FIU, same thing with FIU. And I think UTEP's just been able to find a niche, and that's kind of what you expect when you're paying a coach $600,000 a year and Tim Floyd, is kind of find that niche. And UTEP's really, really found an inside game with Matt Wilms, you know, a guy that's been plagued with injuries the first couple of years. So to see him play up to the potential these coaches, the coaching staff thought he could do 3 or 4 years ago, he's really been a difference. Throw in the sophomore Paul Thomas from Houston area. He was a former four-star recruit. He had a string of 3 or 4 really nice games during UTEP's winning streak. And then you're obviously going to get your production every game, game in and game out, from Dominic Artis and Omega Harris, UTEP's two outstanding guards. And that mixture, X's and O's, mixed with, you know, kind of an easy schedule, if you will, gave them, I think, confidence to go up there in a team like Marshall, who I think really overlooked him. And UTEP was able to punch him in the mouth with these identities. And there's good things to grow on. UTEP still is very, very incomplete, but I think just a product of their schedule and Tim Floyd making a huge coaching adjustment by pretty much saying, we're banning three-point shots and attempts. We're throwing it inside. We're working cuts. We're working off our post, something that you go back 2 or 3 years ago, if you followed UTEP, when UTEP lost three guards and they had those two big men in the middle, Bohannon and Lang. It's kind of the same thing you're seeing here with Matt Wilms and also a budding freshman in Kelvin Jones.
Well, I thought Matt, you know, Tate didn't really have an answer for Matt when they came to Ruston, and then he kind of got tangled up with a guard and went down. And when he left the game, that kind of signified the end of the game. I feel like Tate's going to have their hands full going on the road next week to UTEP. And then you mentioned UTSA. Those guys are 8-0 at home, 1-12 on the road. That one win on the road in Ruston. So Tech's going to have a little payback on their minds, but it's going to be much tougher. I don't, you know, 8-0 at home, they're going to give Tech another ballgame. I think Tech's in for a tough road trip next week. It's going to be tough to come out with one win, at least. You know, two would be really great.
Yeah, on the UTEP side of that, if UTEP continues to grow, I mean, that makes that, you know, this weekend they got that gauntlet with Middle Tennessee and UAB coming in. If they can just continue to grow this weekend, I think Tech definitely is going to have their hands full. You know, for one, looking at UTSA, they defend very, very well. And, you know, they're not a team that's going to go out there and they're going to shoot you lights out and put up 70 or 80 points. But if Louisiana Tech struggles kind of with their pressure, if they struggle rebounding, which really hasn't kind of been an issue for them, but if that becomes a struggle, UTSA's been able to at least, you know, defend well at home. You think defense would travel, but they've just been really good at home defensively. And I think that is going to be a tough test for Louisiana Tech. Like I said, throwing in UTEP improving and what UTSA already brings. I mean, this is really, you're looking at kind of the standings now, and they're really starting to form, and Louisiana Tech is right there with them, right behind the Middle Tennessees and the UABs. You know, this stretch for Louisiana Tech, I'm not sure off the top of my head who they have this week, but, you know, that is going to definitely be a daunting stretch just because of the way UTEP's growing. And like you mentioned, UTSA's been spotless at home. You know, they shoot a little bit better at home. Jeff Beverly's kind of been in an offensive lull really since the UTEP game. And so that's going to be interesting to see how UTSA can really put up points against a Louisiana Tech team who's going to come in. And, you know, you guys know their style. They're really going to try to jack up threes and look for good threes and get the Daquan Bracey kind of feeding the bigs down low.
What was your take on the non-fight fight between Tech and UAB?
Man, you know, I was watching the end of that game because UTEP and UAB or UTEP and WKU were on, and that was a grown man basketball game. I mean, that was, you know, even before, those are two darn good teams that are going in there. You know, there's definitely that rivalry, and you know, it's gonna happen. I don't condone that violence, but you know, I was an athlete. You know, I was one of those guys that kind of ran my mouth a little bit. And I don't know exactly. Situation. We talked about it in our podcast last night with Dave West, who was there. You know, but you don't want to mess with Hakeem Baxter. Let me just say that. I don't know him personally, but I've known of him. And he's a tough son of a gun. But, you know, that's honestly, it's bad. You don't want to see that. But I personally, looking at it from a fan's perspective, you know, that's kind of what you want. Not necessarily people throwing in the blows, but to see two really good basketball programs that have been consistent, you know, showing a little bit of chippiness. You know, that's what's going to create Conference USA. Yeah, I don't know if a fight's going to create respect, but you guys kind of get what I'm saying. Where, you know, there was no love lost in that one, definitely at all. And that was something that, you know, it was crazy to kind of see, unfortunate to what happened with violence and whatnot. But, you know, it just shows kind of, you know, Conference USA starting to kind of mesh together. You know, this conference has been together for a couple of years. You know, Louisiana Tech and UAB have been at the top. So I think that, in my opinion, I think that was kind of spillage of maybe past two or three matchups, even going back to a couple of years.
Oh, I definitely think there was some buildup there. And, you know, UTEP's hosted the conference tournament a couple of times recently. And, you know, kind of get the bullseye on your back, you know, and maybe the angst of the opposing fans. And now UAB's hosted it a couple of times in a row. And I feel like there's a little bit of animosity there. Just you think, like, the rest of the program's kind of – are jealous that UAB gets to have that tournament in Birmingham, and maybe that creates some of that angst.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, I see on Twitter, I saw the Louisiana Tech fans with the clever hashtag CUAB. I know that kind of started last year, you know, and it is. I mean, it really is. And it's, you know, it's not so much, and just kind of speaking on that, it's, you know, and I think you guys know as well, it's not so much an institution problem in terms of UAB, you know, bidding or whatever it may be. I just think it's a geography, you know, issue with so many teams spread out, you know, pretty much west of or east of El Paso spread out. You know, it's hard to have, you know, that central location where it pleases everybody. My opinion of it is put that thing in Houston, you know, give the SWAC or whatever, send them down the road to Katy or whoever's playing in the Toyota Center, and let's have the women play their first games, you know, at Tudor, on Rice's campus, and then let them join, you know, the Toyota Center have in Houston. That's my, you know, that's my opinion. You know, for one, you can't say Rice is going to shut that thing out because nobody really goes to Rice games. Not even raise their attendance this year, but, you know, that's just my solution. And, yeah, you know, like I said, the fans are going to show that animosity, but to me, that's not an institutional problem with universities. In my personal opinion, I think that's just, you know, a product of Conference USA spread out the way
yeah.
that it is.
The geography is definitely bad. I mean, I've seen your Houston theory, and then Dallas, you know, there's arenas there in Plano and in Frisco. Not necessarily, you know, like the Dr. Pepper Center. I think they've got a couple of arenas that are like 6,000 to 8,000 seats. You don't have to go play in an NBA arena. This is Conference USA. Like you said, we're not selling out these places, but you know, you can go to a big city that's a neutral site. I don't expect if you have the a tournament there in Dallas or North Texas area, I don't consider that a home court advantage for UNT like I do having the tournament in Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly my point. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of shooting for the stars and thinking, you know, Conference USA should have that type of venue, you know, going back to the FedEx Center of the Memphis Days. Obviously, that was their home floor. But, yeah, no, you said it right on the head. I mean, there's so many, you know, little – those. Are, I mean, all over Houston, I'm speaking the top of my head, you know, where they play the indoor soccer. There's a nice arena there, 6,000 to 10,000. So, you know, you hit it right in the head. And hopefully, as teams and programs develop, hopefully that becomes kind of something that the, you know, the people that sit behind the desk and make the big money in the conference office can kind of figure out.
All right, Alex. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Hey, anytime, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, and we'll come back and wrap it up.
Louisiana Tech Sports, a driving force for this community that has allowed Walpole Tire and Service to celebrate 60 years of service. Walpole Tire and Service thanks you for trusting us with all your automotive needs. Today, Goodyear and Walpole Tire Service will save you up to $160 off of qualifying four Goodyear tires or receive a $70 reward card with a purchase of four qualifying Michelin tires.
See redemption form at participating dealer for complete details. Offer expires 12/12/2016. Void where prohibited by law.
Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston, West Monroe. Go Bulldogs!
Making your interior design dreams come true. Trenton Interiors and Company in Ruston. Granite and quartz countertops, wood, tile, and vinyl flooring, wallpaper, fabrics, furniture, and lighting, all selected with the help of a professional designer. Owners and designers Julie Mays, David Hedgepeth, and Britt Schoat can turn your dreams into a reality. Trenton Interiors and Company, 111 North Trenton, downtown Ruston, in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. For an appointment, call 255-7698.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Wake up to local sports talk. Jeff Guerrero, the injury attorney, presents The Morning Drive, 7 to 9 a.m. weekdays. Also brought to you by Toyota of Ruston and Car King in Monroe on ESPN 97.7.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN 97.7. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is brought to you by Trenton Interiors and Company. Can call or text us on the Fairway Kartzmann and Hotline and text line 888-993-7762. Our other sponsors include Dairy Queen, Brennan Dodge, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Walpole Tire, Delta Broadband Solutions, Brister Smokehouse, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Can't thank those sponsors enough. They've brought us through this season. And now it's down to the last segment of the year. And what better way to finish it than to look ahead to Louisiana Tech baseball and what looks like, I mean, just by looking at it on paper, is a pretty stellar schedule for the Bulldogs here in Ruston with visits from Arkansas. You've got Wichita State and, of course, a strong conference schedule,
and Lafayette's
as always.
Coming in too.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one will be well attended. But, yeah, looking at that schedule for a team that's coming off 42 wins, team that made it to the final of the Starkville Regional, a team that's really looking to take that next step under first-year coach Lane Burrows. I think the schedule sets up perfect early on. You look at Tech, going to be a little inexperienced on the mound outside of four or five guys. Of course, they return their key reliever in Nate Harris as well as their ace on the mound, Casey Sutton. But the first four games, you look at starting at home against an Arkansas Pine Bluff, kind of let some guys get their feet wet. Then you play Little Rock in the midweek. And then you tune it up to go on the road that second weekend at UT Arlington, a team that's always pretty good at baseball and have always put a lot of guys into the majors. So it'll definitely be a fun year for Tech and, like you said, really good schedule.
All these guys on the roster, I'm looking here, And this is more a question for Ben. I mean, you're pretty much baseball through and through, but what do you think the dynamic is of the team heading into the season? I mean, like Burroughs is inheriting a team from Greg Goff that is pretty heavy on community college guys.
Yeah. Well, I think Coach Burroughs understands, too, that this team is heavy on junior college guys. And like we've mentioned before, this was kind of supposed to be that year where they took that next step. And last year they were a step ahead or a year ahead, you could say. But, yeah, 15 seniors returned this year. I think I've heard Coach Burroughs mention that you could throw out 13 guys in his lineup, and he thinks it would be tough to navigate through four times. And that's crucial. You know, you have a team that I believe last year had around a 390 on base. So if you're getting four out of every 10 guys, you're bound to score some runs. And then on the mound, you lose Philip Deal to the draft along with Braden Bristow and Adam Atkins, three of your top guys. But, you know, like we said, you return Casey Sutton, a guy out of OCS. He played at Hines Community College along with a lot of other players that Tech has as well. So, yeah, it'll be a fun year for Tech.
So you mentioned Casey Sutton's going to be the workhorse. You know, Harris is coming back. Atkins, I believe, was a reliever, but he was
gone. A closer. Yeah.
Who's coming back? I know Tyler Clancy's gone. What other pitchers do they have to kind of look at without Deal or Bristow? I mean, do they have somebody like Cameron Link coming back or Casey Sullivan?
Oh, yeah. You look at Cameron Link. He was a kid that actually beat Cal State Fullerton. He's going to be a right-hander. He's not going to overpower you, but he has really good stuff. He's probably 85, 87 from the right side with a really good breaking ball. And then, you know, another guy you mentioned is Casey Sullivan. He's a kid that big right-hander, straight over the top out of Boston, Massachusetts. So he is a guy that came on really a lot at the end of the year and even in the conference tournament. And another guy is Graham Ulrich. He's a kid. He's, I don't know, 80-85% sliders. So you're not going to see anything straight from him, but yeah, those three guys, along with Matt Miller in the bullpen, he's a kid that'll be the closer. He's got a lower arm slot, but he'll be 90 to 92, and he can really spot his fastball. So I think Tech will be fine on the mound, but it'll be a matter of those guys really getting accustomed to their new roles as being those go-to guys. But Matt Miller, Nate Harris will be crucial. Nate Harris is lights out of the bullpen.
What some of the top producers from behind, you know, from batting last year, you know, Rafael Gladue, Sean Ulrich, are some of those guys coming back? Who do you expect to kind of lead the way?
Oh yeah,
batting wise.
Yeah, I look at Gladue. He's going to be the left fielder, left-handed bat. He's just a really good pure hitter. Has a real good eye. Doesn't strike out a lot. Ulrich's a kid originally signed with Missouri out of high school. Now he's ended up at Tech after a stop at junior college. He had off-season surgery. He actually missed the last few weeks of last season. So he'll be a little slow getting going. I know Coach Burroughs has mentioned that it'll be better for Ulrich to be ready to go in conference play up to full speed. So he'll start out a little slower, but I expect him to play a big-time role. And then you got Chase Lunsford along with Cody Daigle. They'll provide the pop in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, both of those guys had 11 homers last year.
Yeah, and Daigle has light tower power. He can drive a baseball. I remember him hitting the walk-off home run against, I want to say it was Rice, or maybe against Florida Atlantic in the Conference USA tournament. So, yeah, there's definitely a ton of talent. And then you mentioned the Washam twins. Those are two kids that can just flat-out hit.
So a lot of your production's coming back. I know Chandler Hall will be missed. What about Brent Diaz? Do you expect him to take another step forward?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It'll be his junior year. He'll probably be all-conference catcher. So, and he's really good receiver behind the plate. And then another guy that Coach Burroughs has been really impressed with from what I've read is Colby Hamilton. He's a junior college kid that didn't see a lot of time behind the plate, but I think he's a real good catch-and-throw guy that might push Brent Diaz to some DH some games. So, yeah, that's definitely exciting, too, to have that depth behind the plate that can really help you out when you need it. Because, you know, it's a long grind, 60, 65 games a year like Tech's expecting to play. But, yeah, Brent Diaz is a really good catcher, and he'll probably be drafted after this year. He's a preseason All-Conference USA pick.
Well, and Matt mentioned, you know, this last couple of classes for Coach Goff were, you know, community college, junior college heavy, and you came out of the high school ranks to play baseball at Tech. But recruiting in baseball is a little bit different because you're going up against the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Is it almost necessary – I mean, a lot of these kids will go to a junior college because they're wanting to kind of protect their chance to be drafted again. Because if you sign straight out of high school, you can't get drafted for three more years, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's not absolutely essential to build your program around high school guys like you say it is in football or basketball, you don't see as many junior college kids. But, yeah, baseball, it can be built a number of different ways. But Coach Goff clearly built it around the junior college guys with his sights set on winning right away, and he certainly accomplished that goal. And I think Coach Burrows will have a good mixture. But with 15 seniors leaving after this year, there'll definitely be a good amount of junior college players as well, just to help balance out the classes.
That's what I was going to kind of mention as well, as Goff really did look to win now, and his short tenure sure showed that with the difference in record and how far they went in the postseason. But even looking past next year, what is Burrows, planned? Is going straight back to the community college, junior college, his best option?
He's got 7 high school freshmen on the team right now. True freshmen. And then you look at the redshirt freshmen, there's 3 more. So there's a little youth on the team. One of those 3 is Jamar Smith, the quarterback of the football team, one of the redshirt guys. But there is a little bit there. But I would think, you mentioned, he's got to go back to the JUCO ranks to replenish some of that depth. But I think it would be a little more balanced. Maybe he wouldn't go sign 15 junior college guys to replace the 15 seniors that are leaving.
Well, and I think, like you said, he'll balance it out. But when a kid in baseball goes to play at that junior college level, especially as a pitcher, it's crucial for him to go to those junior colleges and throw 40 or 50 innings because, especially with the level it takes getting to in baseball, there's not going to be a ton of freshmen that are going to see a ton of time on the mound. So maybe going to that junior college rank, seeing a lot of innings, just gets you more and more comfortable, helps your stuff become better and better. And same with hitters. You go to a junior college, they play all through the fall and all through the spring. So, those 300-400 at-bats you get, whereas you come to Tech as a freshman and you might see 75. So junior college definitely plays to a lot of advantages in baseball, especially because the competition level is not a huge drop-off as well.
Have you heard anything about freshman lefty from Bossier Parish Community College, but a Ruston kid, Doc Wilkerson?
Oh, yeah, I know that Doc has a lot of talent. He's a kid that, coming out of Ruston, he was a little undersized, maybe didn't think he threw as hard, but I know he went and had a real good 2 years at Bipsy, and then now he's at Tech, and I know he's going to vie for playing time. He'll probably be a reliever out of the bullpen, but lefties out of the bullpen can be really valuable, whether it's a matchup role or even that long lefty out of the bullpen when you need a few innings. So, yeah, he's a Ruston native, and he'll definitely be called upon this year.
And another guy from your neck of the woods, Aaron Shepherd, a second-year freshman from your neck of the woods. Now, where are you from?
I'm from Shreveport.
Okay, Shreveport.
Same general area.
Yeah. Same general area.
I say I'm from Shreveport most of the time because nobody knows where Benton is.
Aaron's, well, that's the same way with me from my hometown. Nobody's ever heard of it, I promise. But Aaron Shepherd's a guy from Benton. He redshirted last year. Do you expect him, semi-local guy, do you expect him to make an impact as a relief pitcher?
Yeah, Shepherd was a big – he's a good signing out of high school. He's a big right-hander, and he had a labrum injury last year, and so that's always a tougher shoulder injury to come back from. So I would imagine he'll be eased into things as well, even though he's probably 16, 20 months out of surgery. Yeah. Sometimes it can be a full 2 years for those guys. So, yeah, he'll be a kid that as a freshman, he'd definitely get his opportunity in midweeks. And, if you come in and you throw strikes and you get people out, you're going to keep getting opportunities.
Shepherd was a pretty big part of a Benton team that consistently was going far into the playoffs. That was one thing at Benton that was
– Yeah, the other kids –
Everybody loves football. Yeah, Jordan Schaefer.
Yeah, that's him.
And it was kind of ironic. I don't think he's playing anymore. Too many injuries, and it wasn't working out. But he ended up coming to Tech the year before Lane Burrows comes back, who was the guy who recruited him at Northwestern State. But really should expect some good things from Shepherd. And this schedule as well, if you're looking at conference, and out of conference as well, is scheduling a big part in getting this Louisiana Tech program up there with, I don't think you can be on the level of football. Football's king for the foreseeable future, but really raising the profile of Louisiana Tech baseball.
I think the schedule plays a key role in it, but I think you also look at winning. The more they won last year, the more people showed. I remember that 3-game series against Rice in one of the last games of the season. Love Shack was packed every night. It didn't matter. The 15-inning game, not a person left. So, and Tech's raised that profile, and the profile of Conference USA and baseball as a whole has such a value on a national level. So Tech doesn't necessarily have to play those out-of-conference schools and beat them. The conference has its strength on its own.
Well, what about the going in hand with that? What about the facilities? I mean, you've seen so many new improvements done with the chairback seats or the turf. I mean, does that play a role in it too?
Oh, yeah, and that helps you in recruiting too, as well as that turf. You know, you never miss a day of practice. You know, it rains, well, 30 minutes later, you're good to go again. You look at the new locker room that got installed right before Coach Simino was let go. The batting cages, you know, they might be looking to close off the batting cages at some point, but, you know, that turf was really important to Coach Goff, because I remember his first year that, you know, there was rain out after rain out after rain out. And when you get to playing doubleheaders, it's – I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's really tough to win two games on a doubleheader. And so, yeah, that turf goes a long way, and, you know, it looks good, and fans love things that look good, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it promoted on Twitter, like – countless times. Like, I'll just see the occasional retweet from Tech Sports or Tech Baseball, just from that, the company that installed the turf. So,
well, and that's where the university in general and the athletic department has gotten it right the last few years. I mean, you've seen all the facility improvements at baseball. Basketball had a few with Carl Malone coming in and redoing the locker rooms and the floor, and then they got the practice facility, and now you see all the new facilities at football. I mean, I think Tech in general and the athletic department is on the upswing, and we're just starting to see the beginning of it just here in the last two or three years.
Oh, yeah, no, it's been an incredible year here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We've been able to see tons of things. All the programs seem to be on the up and up. I mean, we've said it so many times that I'm almost tired of saying it. Tech athletics are on the up and up. The future is extremely bright, and it's exciting to be a part of.
Well, and with the enrollment increasing each year, too,
exactly.
There's just more students available to come to the games, more potential graduates to feed back into the alumni base, and more donations, more ticket sales. So, but it all starts with what you mentioned, being winning.
Yep, it does. So we'll wrap it up. Just a reminder, National Signing Day tomorrow. You can join us on BleedTechBlue.com. We'll have it covered from start to finish. I know I'll be there.
Exciting day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we look forward to next year, and should be a good one.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Walpole Tire, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.